Hi everyone, and welcome to Wolves Fancast. Matt Guy here with the unenvious task of guiding you through the shit show that was tonight's game. To help us wade through the game itself, we're joined by Andy.
I feel like I need to preface that anything I say is going to be said in the heat of battle at the moment. I might feel a little bit differently tomorrow morning, but yeah. Hello, everybody.
We're joined by Adam.
I have got my waders thoroughly strapped in. On.
In and on. And we're joined by Jordan.
Hi, everyone. I'm going to try not to swear too much because my mum might be listening.
Well, it's one of those. So, as we are all aware, we're just about 20 minutes out of the 4-0 thumping to West Ham in a game where I think it's reasonable to suggest that beforehand we wouldn't have dreamt of this scoreline. Going into the game and going into the lineup, any immediate thoughts that sprung to mind when you saw the lineup at the start of the game? Adam, I'll start with you.
Not all really. I didn't know that there was any rumours around Pedence being doubtful. So that was an initial surprise. But then, like within the matter of seconds, really, that was pretty much explained away as that Pedence was picked up a knock. So fair enough. No story there. Other than that, absolutely fine. Obviously, we all expected Semedo to start, and what with Marcel joining Johnny on the injury list. Obviously, Vinagre's got a free shot now at the left wing back role. So, yeah, no issues with the team at all when it come out. I was happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get on to Vinagre, I fear, in more depth a little later on, really. Jordan, anything from you in terms of the squad selection? Is there anything else that we could have done or Nuno could have done, or did the squad pretty much pick itself with the injuries that we've already got?
I wasn't too concerned with the starting lineup. Like Adam mentioned, Pedence for me has been our best player since lockdown. So, you know, obviously not having him around is a bit gutting. But that 11 on the pitch there, I think playing 3-4-3, sort of how I said on the pod last week. I'd like to see Dendoncre there with Moutinho or Neves. Just gives you a bit more legs and a bit more energy in there. But I wasn't too disgruntled about the team. I mean, on paper, you'd say that team's strong enough to beat West Ham. I mean, we beat them four times on the spin with pretty much the same team. So you can't really moan about the starting 11. It's just what's happened after that, I guess, which we'll get onto in a bit.
Absolutely. Andy, I want you to take the first stab. The first gutting wound about this game. When it comes to the first half then, what were your initial thoughts in the first kind of 10, 15 minutes? For me, it felt very lethargic. It felt very lacking creativity. And both teams, to be fair, really struggled to find any kind of rhythm. How did you see the game kind of starting out?
Yeah, exactly that. Neither team took the game by the scruff of the neck. I did think as we were sort of moving on in time, we were slightly getting the upper hand. We were moving the ball a little bit more effectively. Neto looked quite bright. But I did wonder, where are the goals going to come from? Other than Raul, who seemed very, very isolated, you look around the rest of that team and there isn't really a goal scorer amongst them. So I was thinking we are going to be very reliant on Jimenez to pull something out of the bag. And as he seems very much on his own, I do wonder whether or not we're going to get anything. But that was just very early doors.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was said pretty much on the commentary as well that the goal was against the run of play, really. Was it a sucker punch or did we deserve the opening goal where once again our defence has fell asleep and not been, you know, not been as reactive as they should have been?
Well, I mean, what a shit show, as we've said from the start. Absolutely just gash, really. As the game, it was, as I think they said on commentary, it was a very unsettled start from both teams. And after about 15 minutes, I got just a bit concerned about how it was going. because we were offering nothing at all, then that moment with the first goal, I think just the cat just gone to sleep. I'm not going to get drawn into like whether the ball was moving like by an inch at all, because that's a moot point. We've got the foul was given. We've just completely fell to sleep, and then when you've got a left footer on the right wing, you should really know what they're going to do, or you know, position yourself accordingly that he's going to try and whip it in using the left foot. But it was just disappointing, just really disappointing that we started badly. We were not getting any better, and then we've been outthought essentially from a free kick. A quickly taken free kick. And evidently, it's just got worse there. It's just that there was just no. I'm just trying to rack my brains for any redeeming features for the first half and for the game as a whole. And to be honest, I can't think of anything. I'm drawing a blank. I've got nothing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we need to cleanse the palate of the shit first before we can look at any positives. So, I mean, it was a sweet strike by Bowen. No, nothing against him and the goal. You know, it was a great goal taken. But Jordan, I mean, Vinagre, let's get on to him. I think we need to. He's not being challenged for his position at the minute. And this was a golden opportunity for him to be able to stake a claim for a reason why he deserves to be in the squad, not just by default. And he's got to have been one of the worst players on the pitch, surely. What were your thoughts?
I feel sorry for him, if I'm being honest with you. I just think his confidence is absolutely shot. It's absolute pieces. What's happened is that Sevilla game in the Europa League, I think arguably he was man of the match, thinking back to it. He defended really, really well. He was up against Ocampos for most of the game. And I thought he had a terrific game when a lot of people were doubting how he'd come out of that. He probably thought with Johnny getting injured, he's got to run in at the first team. And then all of a sudden, Nuno buys Marcel, who's 31 years old, £2 million. You know, we've seen him against Sheffield United and, you know, coming with all that experience. I thought he was coming in to play left centre-half, to be honest with you. First game of the season, he's put him out of left wing back. Your confidence is going to be knocked. And like all night, when he was on the ball, Vinagre, you're so used to him. Whether you can tell what you want about him defensively, but you're so used to him when he gets on the ball going forward, usually doing three-step overs. He wants to take his man on. Like, literally every time he got the ball tonight, he got the ball, looked inside, and he was trying to pass it, play a 5-yard safe ball backwards or sideways.
Yeah. I saw that as well.
Like, completely, he's just gone. That first goal, though, I mean, we were on the attack, and obviously they broke on us, and there was a free kick because Bolly's like kicked Antonio about 20 foot in the air and give him a piggyback. For me, for that first goal, you've got to be looking at Sice, really. I mean, Jared Bowen's so one-footed. I do rate him as a player. I thought when West Ham signed him, he was quite an astute signing for where they were in the league. You know, he's left-footed. You know, all he wants to do is come on that left foot and bend it. And Sice has made it so easy for him. Granted, Vinagre's out of position, but the quick free kick, we were on the attack. I can't really blame his positioning for the first goal, in my opinion. I think we've got to be looking at Sice, really. He obviously gave away the penalty last week against De Bruyne, needless challenge. And I think he was at fault. Again, a lot of players were at fault this evening, but I thought Sice was appalling tonight. Really do. And I think that he's not the only one out there tonight. But, yeah, I'm lost for words. I just thought it was utterly shit all throughout, 1 to 11.
I agree with Jordan on the observations with Vinagre, because you do used to see, he was so like a positive player. He'd just take players on. And then, yeah, recently you can tell that something's just not there with him. As soon as he's meeting his man, he's passing it back inside. There's no attacking play from him whatsoever. There's no attacking outlet from him at all. And I fully agree with, and I've said it before as well, that he probably assumed he'd be first choice this season. He is now for a little bit, as long as Marcel's there, but I fully expect him to go back in when he's back fit again. Whether he was looking for a way out as well, when we all got swept up with the Tellez rumours and Vinagre was going the other way, whether or not he had his mind on going as well, I don't know, but that's just a bit of concern at the minute with Vinagre, because he's lived off the potential tag for 3 years with us now. And the reality is, he's never really been first choice for Wolves in the 3 years he's been here. There's always been someone else ahead of him, like Barry Douglas or Johnny, now Marcel. So what he needs is a run of games, whether it be with us or someone else. But if he's not going to get a run of games with us when Marcel comes back, then he's got to start looking at other options.
Yeah, I mean, this is the classic case, isn't it, of if you're not getting game time, you're not building confidence, but you need to then impress when you do have game time, and he's not, unfortunately, doing that. And if he's not giving us that attacking outlet, what does he offer us? Because we know he's not the best defensively. Mm. If he's not offering us anything in attack, then what's the point? Andy, I'll come to you about the other side of the defence there. Nelson Semedo, obviously, massive coup, in my opinion, the signing, and something that I still think will bear a lot of fruit for us. But what did you make of his performance today? Didn't really get the opportunity with Traore to show anything electric on that right-hand side. What were your thoughts?
I thought he was one of our brighter players. Obviously, from the position he's playing, he's never going to be contributing all of the goals and assists and everything, but I think he got himself into some decent positions. He made himself a bit of a nuisance. He had a couple of really good runs and dribbles into the heart of their defence. And if maybe other players were a little bit more switched on around him, I think if anything was going to come, it was going to come from his position, to be perfectly honest. Mm. He had a few loose passes, and I think he ran out of legs by about the 60-minute mark, but obviously, it's the fact that he's just joined the team. He hasn't had a proper full week's worth of training or anything with us, so it's hard to be too harsh on his fitness levels. But yeah, he was perfectly fine when everyone else was absolute dog shit.
anyone have any other thoughts about Semedo's forgettable debut, if forgettable only for the team's performance?
I thought it was okay, as okay can be. His problem as well, and I'm happy to get a bit of flack for this, was as well, I thought he was okay, and he kept getting himself into decent positions and on overlaps and stuff. But then every time he gave the ball to Traore, the move just broke down. Honestly, mm-hmm. I just think Traore he ain't a footballer. I'm sorry, lads. He's just not a footballer. He turns up 1 in 7. He's got all the attributes to be the best player in the world. He's so strong. He's so quick. If I was as quick as him, anytime Neves or anyone got the ball, you just run into a space because no one's going to ever catch you. And all he wants to do is get it to feet. He'll tread on the ball, do like this little step over, and he just keeps fucking losing the ball. It's embarrassing. Like, this is a professional footballer who can run 100 metres in 10 seconds. Fucking use it. It's embarrassing. What a shit.
Yeah, I mean, like, this season, sorry, Matt, this season we've seen the worst of Traore. I remember when we signed him, I remember me and Stu being quite worried that we were signing this player who was all fart and no shit, because he had the pace to burn but could do fuck all with it. And that's exactly what we've seen in these four games this season. And don't get me wrong, he was great last season, but what have you done for me lately? Fuck all. He needs to step up and be the player that we know he can be.
He was good last season, though, because he was coming off 1 in every 4, 1 in every 3. So everyone remembered those moments.
Yeah.
This season, like, you know, I can't remember the last good game he had. He had a 90-second spell against Seville when he ran from one half the pitch to the other. Why don't you do that every fucking time if you've got that in your locker? Literally. You're that quick and that strong. Knock the ball and run. And literally what he does, he gets on the ball, tries to step over, falls on his arse, holds his shoulder, and then he's like, oh, I've been fouled again, I've lost the ball. It's shit. It's utterly shit. It's not acceptable.
I thought it was their man of the match. not really. I mean, Semedo, point of view, I agree with the guys. He's solid enough. He had some nice touches. He's decent on the ball. I'm assuming there's a lack of match fitness as to why he come off, you know, after what, 65-70 minutes. Hoover looked all right when he come on. He's good at picking up.
Ah.
But
I thought he sucked.
I thought they're both decent enough. Traore, I'm probably not at the level that you two guys are at the moment. I did think he was poor tonight, to be honest. And when it comes to end products, you know, I thought he had some positive spells where he actually took the ball forward, you know, and took players on. But you can't argue that there was no end product from him tonight, because there wasn't really at all from him. And you know, in the team, you know, he was like bunched in with like everyone else. Really, he did nothing at all to stand out. And I agree, probably only one with any merit this evening was Semedo. And in the grand scheme of things, that's not saying too much, is it?
I think when it comes to Traoré, what's frustrating is, you know, the definition of madness is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. And that's what it is with Traoré a lot of the time now. He's just run down that right-hand side, run straight to the byline and put a cross in. Whereas, you know, you would like to see him do it exactly as you say, run into space, cause himself a nuisance. And it's just not happening. What I will say, though, is, you know, teams know how to play against him now, and it's always going to be a struggle until he changes his game and stops playing the same way as he has been for the last couple of seasons. He's not going to get a lot of joy. And that's just the way it is, sadly. But that's Nuno's problem now, is to find the best out of, or how we get the best out of Traoré in those positions, because we know that when he is on form, he is, you know, an absolutely massive asset for us to have. While we're still critiquing the performance of the team, what do you do with a problem like Sace, really, or our centre-back pairings, because or trio, I should say, because you're right, the last couple of games he's been really off. But what do we do? You know, who do we move around? Who can go in that position for us as a stopgap until we have more options from an injury point of view? Andy, what do you reckon?
I think they need to get on the blower to Uncle George and say, who have you got? We've known for a while that the centre-back pairing, it's been a position that Nuno's wanted to improve. Every season we seem to have been linked with some big-name players. None of them have ever come off. And he's just sort of stuck with what we've got, even though what we've got hasn't been brilliant. It's been enough to get us through. But we are looking at the moment like a team playing with two midfielders at centre-half. Mm-hmm. So I think it's about time that we actually went out and spent some money on getting a decent defender in. I think that's the only way you're going to solve it. Because, I mean, Max Kilman, maybe in 3 or 4 years' time, he will need some game time to get there. I do appreciate that. But I don't think he's the answer yet. And who else do we have? Mm-hmm. Like, well, realistically, I mean, there's no one.
We haven't improved on that position in 3 years, and what we've done is we've thrown shit at the wall to see if it's sticking. We've landed with a midfielder that, up until this point, has done an adequate to good job, but it can't continue like that. And to, you know, to be at the levels where we want to be, that's just not good enough. Unfortunately, you don't find a gem, and you'll argue this point anyway, but you don't find a Connor Cody out of getting a midfielder to centre back every season. Mm. And obviously Connor Cody isn't without criticism for this game either.
I think from an emergency point of view, as you said, you could put Bolly back over to the left, and you could bring Dendonka in right side of centre half as an emergency.
But I fully expected you to say get Ryan Bennett back in there.
But, well,
I wouldn't be averse to that, to be perfectly honest.
I probably would have said that. I probably would have been roundly heckled if I'd have said to get Brexit Bennett back in, defending our borders. Yeah, but I don't think Kilman's the answer either, because he would have played by now. He's about 23, isn't he? And he's not even playing the League Cup games, so he doesn't even get a chance there at all. So I just think he's just a squad number at the minute, and he's another one. Again, he's even in worse position than Vinagre, and he's someone else that needs to leave to get games to further his own career.
Yep.
But I agree with what you've said, that, you know, the back three for the last few seasons has been ultimately the same, and it wasn't, you know, by and large, for the majority of the time, it hasn't been holding us back too much, really. They've by and large done a good job, as much as a back three with two natural midfielders can be. But I mean, you could say in Sace's defence, he plays in that position for his country, fine. But for us, going on recent form, Sace has been a bit of a worry and a bit reckless at times. And if Nuno and the board are as ruthless as they say they are, you would think that that's a position where they're looking to have a quote-unquote refresh.
And just one other thing as well, when we're talking about the defence, Willy Bolly's not without fault on tonight's performance. He was all over the shop. So is there a case to... No, you're right for a while,
and even if you say put Bolly over to the left, it's like he's not exactly been the Willy Bolly that we've come, you know, that we've been so come to, you know, used to being so dominating. I mean, you got the runaround tonight by Antonio, and this is like, don't get me wrong, he's got the attributes to be a bit dangerous, but come on, like, he shouldn't be beating Willy Bolly for strength and power and all that sort of stuff. It was shocking, and with Connor Cody, it's the same as what it always is. Big, strong, physical striker, out muscles and out battles central midfielder. That's the truth of it. Like Cody, I love Cody, but anytime he comes up against a big player, he comes off second best. Giroud, last game of the season, Abraham, Mitrovic, I could go on. Anytime there's a big man, he struggles. And that, again, that's not his fault, but what Cody needs to do, or what in Cody's role in the back three, is the right hand, the right centre half, the left centre half should be doing all the defending for him, and he should just be sweeping up, playing the ball out, and that's his role. When he's getting pinned, and the defenders either side of him aren't helping him, that's when you're going to see his limitations. And unfortunately, Antonio giving the run around tonight, and again, he wasn't the only one, but yeah, all three of them were up for it. For me tonight.
It sounds shit, doesn't it? When you say Antonio, give us the run around. Mikel Antonio, give us the run around. Well, it sounds fucking dreadful.
I'll tell you what sounds even more dreadful. West Ham 4, Wolves 0.
I've got no words.
No, absolutely. I mean, 2020 is the year. I mean, the game that The point in the game for me that just sums up how shit this game was, the fact that Raul Jimenez scores an own goal. I mean, for a striker to score an own goal, we know it's some kind of nefarious levels of shit, isn't it? I mean, it's not fantastic. I mean,
you've got to say easily this has got to be like the worst performance under Nuno. I'm trying to think of any others where we've been. I mean, yeah, we've been outplayed by, like, Chelsea outplayed us twice last year, but this is fucking West Ham. and they've literally handed our arse to us on the plate.
Yeah, there's no disgrace losing to Chelsea. I know they're not the team they were a few years ago, but they're still a good team. West Ham aren't. They're still going to lose and probably get relegated this season. And we've just lost 4-0 to them. With Sebastian Heller scoring. Like, he's absolute fucking dreadful player. And he scores the easiest goal he's ever going to score.
And didn't know what to do when he scored, did he?
No. He's obviously a foreign aspect to his game, scoring a goal.
Absolutely. One thing I do want to point out, and I'm not trying to make the pill any easier to swallow. I don't think you can put a lot of fault to Jimenez. Didn't receive a lot of service at all. He did the old Harry Kane in the World Cup, really, where he had to get deeper and deeper and deeper to try and get any hold of the ball, to be honest. Neto showed some bright sparks in the game. Yeah. Was the only real attacking outlet that looked like he had some actual potency to him. Rui, I mean, he's just not helped by his defenders at all there. He made some saves that actually stopped it being a proper shellacking.
Can I interrupt with my problem with this is as well? So what, obviously, Nuno signed his 3-year deal and he's come out and said, we're going to be a front foot team. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to dominate the ball. We're going to dominate possession. We're going to be on the front foot. Have you seen anything in these three games other than the first 6 minutes against Sheffield United that suggests we're going to be doing that this season? Because, honestly, like, Man City's... Look, I'll get it, Man City. I'm not expecting us to go and play them off the park. I mean, Leicester scored 5 past them and had about 30% possession earlier. But you can play in pockets against Man City. But tonight, like, we haven't tried to dominate the ball there tonight at all. Not from minute one. And, like, the problem is, you know, if we're dominating, we should be 20, 30 yards further up the pitch, which may have been part of the problem why Antonio kept turning us and kept spinning us. But there's no one in that midfield who can join Jimenez. It's so isolated. It's shocking. Mm-hmm. And Moutinho, his legs are going. So the problem is now he can't burst the box. If you're playing a system where you're dominating the game or want to dominate the possession, we need midfielders breaking the box. Mm. Need I say like a Dave Edwards? And I'm not saying Dave Edwards. I'm just saying look, that sort of arriving late in the box, getting in and stuff. Suchek for West Ham was doing it all night long. Let's be like, you know, this isn't me saying, oh, this isn't like, oh, we need a world beater. Suchek's getting in the box for West Ham, causing havoc. We haven't got the ability with that, with the players we've got in the current squad. So if we want to play this, expansive, dominating, all attacking, aggressive style of football, which Nuno's telling us he needs to do, then we need to change up the core of that team. You can't just go from a counter-attacking team to we're going to dominate the ball. It's like the McCarthy team to Solbakken. We had 4-4-2, kick it, lump it, route one, and Solbakken come in and said, let's play tiki-taki football, and it went flat on his arse. We can't, that transition's too big with the current squad we've got. You either got to freshen up the squad or you've got to freshen up the tactics, whether that's moving from a three at the back. If you want to dominate games, you need to dominate the midfield, and with Moutinho and Neves, they're great on the ball, but there's no legs in there to dominate a midfield.
So one pace, aren't they, in midfield, having those two.
That's the problem.
In the middle. And having Moutinho, we all know, like, you know, I was surprised last season we got as many games out of him that we did, given his age. And we played, like, 59 games last year. And he started, like, well, he played in a vast majority of them. But going forward now, surely you can't be expected. I know he's brilliant on the. We all know how brilliant he is. We're not going to question that completely, but he's not the future of the club, and we know that we should be looking for someone to take over from him. Whether that's Vitinha or not, we just don't know that yet. But having like Neves, Moutinho in the middle, the midfield two, I'm not sure that doesn't work. If you want to keep playing Moutinho, you're going to have to like have an extra body midfield, and Moutinho's one that drops deep to start the attacks off, and then you can allow Neves to go further forward, or, you know, whatever you want to do. I just don't think now that having Moutinho and Neves as a two in midfield is going to work for us.
I agree. I don't think we're at the point yet where we need to take Moutinho to the back of the Mr. Tika van and put a bullet in him or anything. But it's definitely to the point where we need to start thinking of the alternative long term solution. Andy, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, Jordan kind of stole my thunder because I was about to jump in and say, what the fuck's going on with this refresh? Because we keep hearing about, oh, we're refreshing the squad, we're refreshing the way that we're going to be playing football. 10 of the 11 players who started tonight played most of the games last season. And I'd say 9 of them probably played most of the games the season before. There's no real refresh, to be perfectly honest. He's got a couple of players in the squad who we don't really know anything about at this stage. It's far too early to say. But if he's going to be looking at changing things completely, he's going to need to put them in there and just go for it. Instead, he's just sort of doing a little bit of both, which means he's doing a lot of neither. And it just doesn't work. So it beggars belief. And I think when I think about how Wolves were doing well last season, our problem wasn't the front line. It wasn't our front three where the issues lay. It was the midfield. That was where we either won or lost the games for me. So I think that's where he needed to spend the most time on refreshing, was the midfield pairing or trio. And I think he probably needs to do a trio if he's going to be playing Moutinho, because Moutinho, as Jordan said, his legs are on the way. He's not in a position where he should be playing week in, week out, 90 minutes. And if he is, you're going to need Dendonker on there to do the donkey work and do all of the running for him. So the Dendonker work. Which brings me to another point. Where the fuck was Dendonker? He should have been starting on that. He's one of the few goal threats we've got aside from Jimenez.
I'd agree. Yeah. I'd agree completely. You know, when you think of Dendonker, you think of legs, you think of someone that's going to give us that bust the gut for the whole of the game that we just didn't get from today. Mm-hmm. I think that leads us nicely though into the break, which after the break we're going to talk kind of the transfers, that maybe we need to still make towards the end of the transfer window. We're going to talk Fulham and we're going to do a little Twitter corner and quiz to kind of give us that warm, fuzzy feeling on the inside that we might need. So we'll see you after the break.
Hi, Richard here. Before you go back to hearing us dissect the latest Wolves news, some really shoehorn Simpsons references, a bit of 90s film action, of course, a bit of wrestling, I just want to do a quick shout out for our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media. Now, they've done a fantastic job on the Wolves Fancast website, wolvesfancast.com, please go check it out. But they're not just web designers, they're a creative agency that cover all your design needs, from websites, brochures and signage to marketing, logo design and branding. There's basically nothing they can't do marketing wise, so make sure you check them out at pixelyetimedia.com and I'll let you get back to enjoying the show.
Right then, guys, welcome back. Looking ahead then to the transfer window and what's left of it. I believe it's October the 5th for the general transfer window deadline, with an extended transfer period of October the 16th for domestic transfers within the Premier League and the EFL. We already mentioned that a centre-back is something that we potentially need to be looking at. And bear in mind what we've already spent and the kind of money that we're already looking like we're comfortable in spending. I just wanted to run a few players by you, what other clubs have signed already, the kind of money. This isn't in a centre-back position in at all, but, you know, Ollie Watkins, 33 million, Ziyech to Chelsea, 33 million, Van der Beek to United, 39 million, Nathan Ake to City, 41 million, you know, we're looking in excess now of 25, 30 million pounds as a standard benchmark for a player of any significant quality now. Is that something that the team or the board, I should say, will do and will put their hands in their pockets? Again, don't think we can accuse the board of not putting their hands in their pockets, but is that something that we'll do again before the end of the transfer window, do you think, George?
I think probably not before tonight. Now, I think they probably will. Because I think what, the you know, sort of Nuno's last press conference said, look, we're not completely done, but we're smart and we want to wait for the right deal. They can't wait for the right deal now. It's shown that we've still got this team's nowhere near good. Like, it's not finished. To move into this progressive style of dominating the ball, which we still haven't seen, that team cannot dominate the ball and dominate games. So we're going to have to get a couple in. And sort of what you alluded to earlier, like we've got a lot of kids now in the team that we brought, and they've either got to be playing, we don't know how good they are still yet. Like, but you can't spend £35 million on a player and then just give him, drip feed him minutes, because you're not going to see the best out of him. I don't know if he's good enough or not. From what I've seen, I can't really judge. Like, you know, so far I wouldn't say he looks a £35 million player, but, you know, we've seen him in snippets in a game against Stoke where, again, it was on par with the West Ham performance, let's be honest. So, it's like Vitinha as well. Like, you know, they've come with all this potential. We need to see it. If they're good enough, they've got to be playing. And we've seen that with Nuno when he's signed players in the past, or we've had people in the squad who have got inverted commas potential. Like, I'll bring to you know, subject A or exhibit A, Ruben Vinagre, Max Kilman, Morgan Gibbs-White. I know he didn't buy Gibbs-White, but these players all have potential. Never trusted them, never starts them, out of choice anyway. So if they're good enough, they've got to play. And if they're not good enough, I'm struggling to understand why we've spent £35 million on Fabio Silva, where Jimenez is going to play every minute of every game anyway. So what yeah, you know what I mean? That money could have been invested elsewhere.
Yeah, I get completely what you're saying. I think the worry is, are you doing more damage to the team by, A, bringing in too many new faces? We've seen in previous years how doing that really isn't to the benefit of a football club, by bringing in too many fresh faces that don't fit the system. And let's not forget, there's been practically no pre-season for this team, and we're trying to implement a new style when there's been no pre-season. It is going to take some some teething, you know, it's going to be some teething problems down the line. Do you think, Andy, that there's a player out there with such a short amount of time left of the window with what we've already got that will come? I'm not asking you to name that player, but do you feel that bringing a centre back in is the answer to our problems and then things will change? Or is it a wider problem than that? Is it more that we've got players that we can use, but we just haven't utilised them yet? What are your thoughts on that?
The honest answer is I don't know. We haven't seen enough of those players who are coming through to say whether or not they've got any chance of actually making an impact long term. You look at like maybe Sanderson and the likes, and let's be honest, most of the players who are coming through who we told are good, they tend to be defenders. And personally, I've said it a few times, I think we need a bit of an all-action midfielder who can break the lines. Someone like Oxlade-Chamberlain, I know it's been mooted quite a few times and it's not happening, but that would be the kind of player I think we need to be looking at. Maybe not an English one, because let's be honest, we don't sign English players because they tend to come with the English tax. But there's got to be someone out in the continent who can do that role. Maybe Thomas Lemar. Maybe he can do it. I don't know. There's got to be someone out there who can come in and improve this team. And let's not forget, we haven't even spent a penny yet. We have 500 grand in credit at the moment, yeah, thanks to all the transfer wheelings and dealings we've done. So we haven't actually spent anything. Where's the Jarvis money going? That's what I want to know.
Exactly. Andy, Adam, any final points on kind of transfers and what we need to do business-wise before the end of the window?
I'm not sure if Fosun will suddenly sanction a massive shopping spree off the back of one game. Perhaps, I don't know if they're a bit longer looking than that, but they should already know what we need, even probably before tonight's game. I would hope. I'd like to think so. Surely Nuno has told them, the back line needs a fresh face in there anyway. Someone of quality. I'm not talking about signing a Fabio Silva equivalent for defence, like a high value 18-year-old that's quote unquote potential again that we're going to keep on the bench for the first 2 years of his Wolves career. We need someone to come in now. And because if much of the season goes the same way as tonight, and I don't want to get too much of a knee-jerk reaction on it, if we do struggle this season, then that will, there's further ramifications for that as regarding whether what players stays or goes after the end of the season. So we need to get it right. We just need to get this window right and get a couple more in that we know will improve the team straight away, because getting minimum top six is what everyone's looking at. I know some of us are looking higher than that, but minimum top six is what we're after, because we've got just the league to concentrate on. So they've got to make sure they get this window right, and they've got to make sure we bring in quality for now, not a project, not like a youthful project for the next 2-3 years.
The only problem with that is, Andy, I was just going to say, the only problem with that is you've got the traditional top six, and you've got Everton, who have won 3 out of 3, and you've got Leicester, who've just scored 5 against Man City. It's going to be so hard to break the top six, let alone top four this
Leicester
year.
Leicester are the Premier League derby. They'll fall off towards the end of the season. I've no doubt of that. And I don't think Everton will keep it up. I mean, don't use this soundbite in 9 months' time, by all means. But I think you should, the top six is there to be broken into still. But isn't it funny that about a week ago, or maybe even 12 hours ago, we were talking about how great this window's been so far, it's fantastic, the ambition, and we're a few hours later, and all of a sudden we need to make wholesale changes. But I guess that's football, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's what you say. I mean, games change opinions, don't they? But and I said right at the outset, I don't want one game to dramatically change everyone's outlook on it. But it naturally does, make you question a few things. But as regards to the teams, the season is young. It's only 3 games in. So we know further forward really on guessing who's going to end up where. But you just got to think with that's our aim in mind, top six, and like I say, you hope now that we're just getting the right quality, and we don't hold ourselves back.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So let's look ahead to Fulham. Obviously, a game that on paper, and I know who was it that said it? Mourinho, football is not played on paper, but on paper is a game that we should be expecting or hoping to get 3 points from. From a lineup point of view, I'm guessing we, from the conversations we've had, we're dropping one of Neves or Moutinho for Dendonka for that extra set of legs. What do we think?
I think he'll go 3-5-2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
I think Pedence is going to come in and float behind Fabio Silva and Jimenez, is what I think is going to happen. And I think Dendonka will come in for probably Moutinho. And then I don't know whether he will change that back four. That back three. Because I think the only person you can bring in is Kiana Hover. I'd say from the signs he's got to come and play right centre-half. At least that'll give us a bit more pace if we're playing a higher line. And then you switch Bolly across. But I think he'll play 3-5-2, if I'm honest with you. And look, Pedence, hopefully he's fit enough to play. And it's a shame on Neto, because I do think he was all right tonight. And but I've said before, I think Nuno wants to play 3-5-2. And Pedence is just so fluid and so creative that actually having two focal points up front as well and allowing him just to float between, it should give a lot more space then for Semedo and Vinagre, potentially, if he's still in there, to actually bomb up the pitch. And it might actually help Vinagre to say, look, you just bomb up the left wing. Don't forget about defending. Just hog that touchline and get up and down. And I would expect him to go 3-5-2.
That's what he's generally done against some of the weaker teams. He's gone with the three in the middle to try and win the midfield battle, overwhelm them, and then you get straight up to their defence. So I think if he does do that and then goes with Jimenez and Silva up top, I can imagine we should get some joy out of the likes of Tim Ream. He's never been the most mobile of players. So, you know, get the ball down and move it quick. I think there's a chance that, you know, you can really really cause some damage at their back line. It makes sense. And if Pedenzi's fit, he's the man to do the job in that deeper role. If he's not, then I'd have no problem at all with Neto doing it. Personally, I'd keep Traore on the bench because, well, as we said in the first half of the show, he ain't really been up to snuff this season so far. I wouldn't be massively averse to, if he does put Dendonka into defence, wouldn't be massively averse to that if you put him in at the right centre-back and moved Bolly across. I would prefer to see Hoover just... I mean, what's the point in signing him and not playing him? So, yeah, I agree with George for pretty much all of what he said, really.
Adam, are you going to mix things up a little? Are you going to go football manager on us and make some wholesale tactical changes?
I think it's funny because the guys talk then about what we should do, and we all know that Nuno will keep it exactly the same. He ain't going to change a damn thing. You see, he's going to keep it exactly. We'll have Neves and Moutinho lying up against Fulham in the middle of the park. You watch. Yeah, if it was me, football manager, my sliders would be all the way to all-out attack, and I'd have four across the top. Obviously, Pedence, if he's fit, has got to come back, and he has to. Not just because he's my boy, he's our best player at the moment. You know, he's our best creative outlet as well. But I would definitely bring Dendonka in, and I would also drop Moutinho. Because I want to see more at Neves as well, because I know last season we said there were some bright sparks from him and there were some good games from him, but I want him to put a string of good performances together, really. You know, there was talk about, you know, all the big clubs in the world wanting to pay mega bucks for him, but I don't really say we haven't saw the evidence from him for a while now. But other than that, you know, I'd just make those changes, really. I mean, there's not a lot you can do with the back line unless, as you say, Dendonka's going in there, but then you'd have to keep Moutinho and Neves in then. So, I'd have Dendonka in midfield and then obviously Pedence come back in.
Yeah, nothing outrageous from anybody there, really, in terms of all sensible suggestions for what we should be doing, what we should do, whether that materializes into anything is yet to be seen. But you know, you can't have abject performances like that and expect, you can't expect the same thing against Fulham, can you? I mean, wake me up from this nightmare if that's the case.
I mean, if it's Fulham and we all think they're dog shit, then just play Jimenez and Fabio Silva up front. Give Fabio Silva a full game, as Andy says, against Tim Ream. We can destroy him.
I absolutely think we should, but dare I ask for some predictions from you all so we can laugh at you later on for how bad you got it. Andy, I'll go with you first.
4-0, Wolves.
Whoa! What's in that coffee?
Silva, if he goes with what I've suggested, we're going to fucking win the league. It's that simple. He just needs to listen.
Absolutely. George?
1-0 Fulham.
Oh, what? It's happened already.
It's going to be like that Wigan at home game under Lambert. And it was freezing, pissing. It was just the worst game football I've ever seen. They scored in the 94th minute off a corner. I can just see, yeah, it's going to be something like that. We're going to huff and we're going to puff. Chore is going to come on and do like a triple deke like on Mighty Ducks, fall over, and they're going to break on us and score. 1-0 for them.
Ad, come on, put me out of my misery.
I'm going to... I definitely think we'll probably concede a scummy goal, but I would say we're 2-1. 2-1 win.
Yeah, that was my prediction. To be fair, we're gonna win 2-1, but it's not gonna be pretty. But it will be get us over the line, and then is it Leeds after that?
I think that's one thing. You know what? If we defend like we have tonight, Leeds will score 10.
Cost the hat trick.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, yeah. Well, let's move on to something a little less mentally taxing in Twitter corner. But looking at some of the questions. this might be the quicker we get through this, the better, really. Right, we'll start off with Joe Ashmore 4. Is this the worst performance under Nuno? He wants to kick us off.
Yes. Well, yeah, absolutely.
Unequivocally, yes.
Yes.
Gash.
enough said. Miguel 2020, was Jota right in leaving as he saw this spanking coming a mile away? Miguel, I'll answer that for you. Jota can do one, as far as I'm concerned. We needed to get rid of him and the money was right, so there you go. Wolves Band wants to know something off football related. Will we all finish watching all of Netflix and reading all of the internet before the next lockdown?
I know there's always seems to be something else that comes up on Netflix. Like, there's always something else. You just go down a rabbit hole, don't you? It's just mental.
Yeah. But today I signed up to something called Shudder, which is like a horror-specific Netflix. So that's what I've been doing all day, watching this film called Host, and it is fucking terrifying. Really good. Thoroughly recommend it to any horror aficionados out there.
Excellent. Todd DeWitt, long-time friend of the show, wants to know, this is a great question, actually. If you were arrested without an explanation, what would everyone assume you did?
I'm just thinking of certain other people on the fan cast, but I would assume they would do
something. And we all know who we're thinking about as well.
Yeah, it's the same one.
And we know what it's going down for as well.
Mine would probably be drunk and disorderly, I think. Like being caught pissing in a public space or something like that when I'm hammered.
Okay, nice.
That's what I hope. That's what I hope my friends think of me anyway.
I'd like to think my friends were clever, like thought I was clever enough to like try like a big money laundering scam and I just got caught. That's what I go for.
That's what I was going to say for mine. Some insider trading. Some massive share scam. Either that or intent to supply.
And last question we'll go for from Glenn Wilson. I like this. So Glenn is in Australia for time context, watching the game. My teething daughter waking through the night kept me from setting an alarm for 4 a.m. to watch the match. So he's missed the match because of his teething daughter earlier in the evening. How much money do I owe her for this service? And should she be on repeat next week?
He owes her a pony when she's old enough, I think. Yeah, when she asked for a pony for her birthday, that's the minimum she deserves.
He needs to get her a bloody unicorn.
Yeah.
For the buffer of watching this game. I like it. Right then, we'll move on to the quiz then to see who will come out on top. We're going to ask, I'm going to direct the questions to each of you for this. If you don't get it right, you can jump in and you can try and steal the point. Thanks to Dan, as always, for coming up with the quiz. It is a cracker as well. So, Adam, I'm going to start with you first.
Ooh.
5 years ago this week, Wolves beat next week's opponents, Fulham, 3-0. But who scored our first goal on that day?
5 years ago. So using my D grade maths, that would be 2015.
Great start to answer.
I'm doing it. I'm starting all right so far.
You're getting a point for your marking out. You're working
so
out anyway.
So my workings. Stalling for time. First goal, I'm going to have an absolute stab in the dark and say FOB.
Incorrect, unfortunately. Does anyone want to steal? Anyone want to hazard a guess to steal?
Really, I think Andy knows.
I think it was Richard Stearman.
I'm afraid not. George, you want to have a guess?
There's two other players. If it's not that one, I think it might be.
I remember Doherty scoring like a 40-yarder, but I think that was in the Cup game. I'm going to go with Prince Onyeagi.
Afraid you're all out. You haven't mentioned any of the scorers in any capacity, unfortunately.
Okay. Was it Michael Jacobs or James Henry? They were the other two I'd have gone for.
James Henry got a goal, but he didn't score the first goal. The first goal scored was from Adam Lafondra.
Fucking hell. I didn't know he even scored for us.
Ojo scored the second, I think it was, and Henry scored the third.
Oh, it was the one. It was a Craven Cottage, wasn't it? I was thinking at home. Yeah. That was the Craven Cottage one. Okay.
Never mind. So we're all draw a blank for that one. So, George, your question. 6 years ago tomorrow, we drew 3-3 away to Reading. Who scored our second goal? So try and put a time period on it. Who 6 years ago?
Yeah, it's going to be 2014. Adam, there you go. Took six off, brother.
Showing you everything's good.
I will go for Dangerous Dave Edwards.
I think I know this one.
I'm afraid you're incorrect, George. So anybody want to steal?
I'm going to say Lee Evans.
Ding, 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 ding. Adam, you got it right, mate. 1 point to Adam. Very well taken as well.
So I know that. I was in the Gunmakers watching that game, and that game where you will enter like the minutes, the last goal will be scored in. And I picked that, and Lee Evans scored on mine, and I went berserk in the pub because I was going to win about 100 and something quid. And then literally a minute later, Reading equalised. But that was fucking bollocks.
Deary me. Andy, this is by no means an ageist question, but 19 years ago tomorrow,
fucking hell.
We beat Rotherham 3-0 away. Who scored our third goal?
Our third goal in 2001 against Rotherham. Jesus.
You call yourself a pundit.
I know. Julian Lescott.
I'm afraid that's not correct. Does anybody else want to jump in?
I'll have a guess at Georgian Dharma Lord.
Unfortunately not. Adam?
I'm just going to have a complete shot in the dark at Carl Robinson.
Incorrect. Alex Ray.
Oh,
there we go. But we move on now to Answer Smash. Again, it's going to be directed to each person you can steal. So, Adam, former Wolves and Fulham player mixed with one of the most annoying, catchy K-pop songs of all time.
Cool. Pricey, do you know any K-pop songs?
All I'm thinking of is that main one.
I like how covert you were there.
Yeah. For what? Former Wolves and Fulham defender?
Just player.
Oh, player. Right, okay. Sorry, I don't know how to defend my head at all. Wolves and Fulham.
I'm going to have to push for an answer.
Gang Gangnam McDonald style? I don't know.
not quite. You're along the right lines. Anybody want to try and steal?
I ain't got a clue.
George?
Kevin McDonald had a farm.
Not the K-pop song that I remember, but that's fine. The answer was Andy Lona Gangnam Style.
Oh,
a collective groan there. Jordan, former Wolves and Fulham player who is regularly seen on BBC and Eurovision.
Jordan Graham Norton.
He's got it. He's already got it.
Oh, lovely, lovely stuff.
Nicely done. That is nicely done. And Andy, your question. A mix of a well-known British actor who supports Fulham and a striker who had a poor loan spell for Wolves.
Hugh Grant Holt.
Fuck. No fucking about there.
Strain.
Oh, in like a flash. I love it. I love it. So that takes us really nicely to 1 point apiece going into the tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker. Unreal.
Tiebreaker for the lads. Right. I want you to either write your answers on a phone for me or screen so I can advise.
I'll write on the paper.
You ready? You're prepared for this, weren't you, Jordan?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready for your question, your tiebreaker question?
Yeah, I'm typing it on the chat, so you can see.
Okay, fair enough.
According to Google Maps, if you were to walk from Craven Cottage to Molyneux, how many miles would you have to walk? Some puzzled looks here. Okay.
Oh, I've overshot that. Let me. I'll type.
Go on, you've got a bit. Commit to it now.
I think I'm walking to fucking Land's End.
He's fell out of his seat. So well, if you keep on typing any more, how many numbers are in this mileage, George?
Well, I've only typed one, haven't I? Right, for the purpose of it, 277.
277. Jesus wept. Need those shoes at Forrest Gump had that got him across. So Adam's gone for 145, Andy has gone for 156, and Jordan is wrong. So we're going to go for the correct answer, and taking this week's quiz is Adam with the correct answer of 125. So Adam, you were closest to take today's quiz, so well done.
I've neglected to mention I've walked to Fulham many times.
Oh, that way you're in such an Adonis shape.
That's why I was wrong.
Oh, okay.
Back to my answer.
Right then, guys, well, we'll wrap up then for now. I hope we got you through what was an absolutely terrible performance with at least some insight and something to mull over. Let's really hope it's going to be something better for Fulham. Listen, there's plenty of things in our archives that you can listen to that will give you a bit of joy. We've started series two of Hoops' Stories from the Pack, which has been a great listen so far. So I definitely suggest that you listen to them. Filmcast has recently come out with an episode about the Damned United, which was a really fun recording for me and Andy. We're on there. Rich and Stu were on there also. There's absolutely loads in the back catalogue to listen to. So have a look. There's something that you'll find for everybody there. So for now, Andy, do you want to say goodbye?
See you later. Hope he hasn't been too miserable.
George, want to say goodbye?
Goodbye, everyone. Sorry for cursing.
Sorry to Jordan's mum for cursing. Nad, do you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye. Things can only get better.
And from me, take it easy, guys.